The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst, and said to them, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. As we heard in John's Gospel, the first word spoken by the risen Christ on Easter night conveyed his special Easter gift to his church, peace. And it's significant that the Lord's commission to his apostles to forgive sins in his name immediately follows from that greeting of peace, when he says, "If you forgive men's sins, they are forgiven. If you hold them bound, they are held bound." And we can ask ourselves then, what is the connection between this peace which he conveys to them and then also the authority to forgive sins in his name? It's all essentially one event. Well, the Hebrew word that Jesus would have used on that first Easter evening, shalom, it carries within itself a number of meanings, including wholeness, harmony, unity, peace, and right relationships. This word shalom harkens back to the early Genesis accounts that depict God and our first parents in an intimate union of friendship and love. And we know that that union was destroyed by the sin of our first parents. And from that day onward, sin has always been the obstacle between in our relationship with God. And to find peace, then, this roadblock of sin always has to be removed. So there you have the link, if you will, between the resurrection gift of peace, shalom, and the resurrection gift of forgiveness of sins. And that link is maintained today by the church in the sacrament of penance, which the church fathers often referred to as the second baptism. And that's because they saw in this sacrament of penance the consoling possibility of our returning really to baptismal innocence. We're given a second chance, a third chance, and more if we're willing to repent and to begin again. And this reality is so important in the lives of human beings that when the great English writer and convert to the Catholic Church, G.K. Chesterton, was asked the question, "Well, why is it that you became a Catholic?" His response, very simply, was to get my sins forgiven. And that remains a very powerful reason for being a part of our Catholic family, to concretely experience the compassion, the forgiveness, the mercy of Almighty God. You know, this Divine Mercy Sunday, which is the designation given to this Sunday after Easter by Pope John Paul II, it has, I think, very special significance for us this year. If you remember, it was exactly 6 years ago on the vigil, the Saturday evening vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday, as it was being celebrated in Rome, that Pope John Paul II, Pope John Paul the Great, passed from this life forever into eternal life. And if you recall those days, you will remember the more than 1 million people of all ages, certainly many, many young people, who descended on Rome. They seemed to come out of nowhere. Trains in Europe were packed with people just heading to Rome to be able to participate in the funeral mass for Pope John Paul II. And if you saw any of it on television, you remember some of those signs that said, Santo Subito, make him a saint right away, declare him a saint right away. Well, this morning I was up early. I was in the kitchen at 10 after 4. I turned on the television, and there was the beatification mass for Pope John Paul II being celebrated in St. Peter's Square. And as you looked out, you saw that not only was St. Peter's Square filled, the broad boulevard leading up to the square was full, filled with people, but even way beyond anything you could see on television, the piazzas, streets of Rome were filled with people who wanted to be there for his beatification. So he has been declared blessed Pope John Paul II, one step away from sainthood itself. So at this Mass, in a particular way, we certainly give thanks to God for our great Holy Father, blessed Pope John Paul II, including the gift that he has given us of this Divine Mercy Sunday, and for introducing all of us, probably all of us, to St. Faustina Kowalska, the Apostle of Mercy, who he canonized as a saint on this Sunday exactly 11 years ago. To remember who she is, St. Faustina was a young Polish nun and mystic. She was active. She died in the late 1930s at a relatively young age. But she wrote down two prayers that had been dictated to her from the font of mercy himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the first is this: Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. And then the second part of the prayer: for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. And for whatever reason, we understand that the Lord used St. Faustina to, at this time in world history, to remind us of God's great mercy. Now, I think there may have been some generations of Catholics who grew up maybe not having an image of God as being mercy itself. But that is, for whatever reason, is the intention of our Lord certainly today, that we understand that God is the essence of mercy itself. Jesus promised St. Faustina that great things would happen if people prayed this chaplet of prayers with the proper attitude. And here's the quote that she wrote down in her diary that she received. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at the hour of death. Priests will recommend it to sinners as their last hope of salvation. Even if there were a sinner most hardened, if he recited this chaplet only once, he will receive grace from my infinite mercy. I desire to grant unimaginable graces to those who trust in my mercy. And those of you who know that if you have a loved one who was nearing death or at the point of death, if Father Parker or I visit, certainly at some point we always do pray when someone is certainly at the point of death, we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet and encourage the family to do the same. But back to our gospel, the risen Christ's first gift to his church on Easter Sunday evening was his peace, which flows from his abiding mercy. And I think we can reflect on that, and certainly we need to believe it with all our hearts. We need to thank God for this gift, which so many people desire and hope for, but unfortunately many do not realize how readily available it is to them. And we know that faith, which is much of the focus of the gospel that we just read, consists of far more than simply believing in the existence of God. Faith requires that we act upon and live our belief by keeping God's laws, seeking certainly to grow closer to him every day, because there is, all of us know, there are multiple ways in which we can get sidetracked or even kind of go into reverse, the opposite of growing closer to the Lord. That's just what happens to us. And certainly we Catholics know that being saved is obviously not a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's not a matter of our perhaps having attended a Catholic school, attended religious education. It's not a matter of being married in the church. It's not a matter of being a graduate of Notre Dame University. It's not a matter of being a bishop or a pope. Our salvation for each one of us is a matter of our heart's ongoing response to the love and will of God. And despite even our very best efforts, every one of us falls short of this ideal and lapses into sin. And by giving us the sacrament of penance, Jesus allows us to reconcile ourselves to him continually and to grow steadily in our faith. The church and her priests, in the name of Jesus Christ, carry out this divine commission by calling all members of the body of Christ to repentance, reconciliation, to more perfect union with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And of course, as a reminder, even though we are Catholics and we've been given this beautiful sacrament, nothing should prevent us, when we recognize our sin, to prayer to ask forgiveness of God for what we've done. So we don't need to wait for the sacrament of penance to seek God's forgiveness for whatever it is the sin that came into our lives. But indeed, on this Sunday afternoon, as a reminder of how we are celebrating Divine Mercy Sunday, from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock this afternoon, we're going to have five priests here hearing confessions. We'll have Eucharistic adoration during those 2 hours from 1 to 3. About 3 o'clock, we'll sing the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And then there will be a Mass, a Divine Mercy Mass, that'll start somewhere around 3:30 after we've sung the Chaplet. And there'll be a blessing of the image of Divine Mercy. If Jesus began his resurrection appearances to his apostles with the greeting of peace, we know also that he began his public ministry with the invitation, or rather the command, that we repent. The sacrament of penance is the means by which we Catholics go through the process of repentance, so as to actually have the experience of the peace that Jesus wants to give to us. Or as the confessor assures the penitent, the Lord has freed you from your sins. Go in peace.